First Kings in chapter 10, we read of the Queen of Sheba and how she comes to visit Solomon and how she comes to question him and to observe and to discover whether what she has heard of his great wisdom is true. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel for ever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's houses, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor was seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And having asked, been answered, she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Who is this Queen of Sheba? Why does she come onto the pages of Scripture here? What does she illustrate? This queen from a far country, of which we know little. A great queen, a powerful queen, a wise queen, a rich queen. She comes to Solomon with many questions and with costly gifts. She'd heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove him with hard questions. In her visit to the king, her desire to hear of his wisdom and her own questions and bringing her own wisdom before him. We see a likeness to those wise men from the east who came when they heard of the birth of the King of the Jews in Bethlehem. They came seeking him, and they came bringing gifts of gold, myrrh, frankincense. They came seeking him out at his birth. She comes like them from a far country to see the king. But in many ways, she is a picture, an illustration of mankind as a whole, and mankind's approach unto the King of Glory, mankind's treatment of Christ and his gospel. When we hear of Christ, when we hear the fame of the King concerning the name of the Lord, when we hear of Christ, we approach unto him the way she approached. We come unto him with hard questions. We approach unto him arrayed in our own glory, with costly gifts. We come unto God, as it were, full of our own wisdom, full of our own righteousness, bringing before him the works of our own hands, and full of hard questions. We doubt him. We doubt the report of him. We do not believe him. She said, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." Until God, by faith, brings us to Christ the King, of whom Solomon is but a picture, until he brings us under him, and by faith we see him, and we hear his wisdom, we are like the Queen of Sheba. We believe not the words. We come full of doubt and suspicion. We come full of our own wisdom. We ask hard questions. And it's not until we meet with him and he answers every question, and he brushes aside all our unbelief, and he breaks down our arrogant, haughty spirit, and he brings us down to nothing, so that there is no more spirit in us, as there was no more spirit in her at the end, until we're brought to the end of ourselves, the end of coming in our own wisdom, pitching it against his. Until all our hard questions are taken away and brushed aside, we are just in unbelief and blindness. But should he bring us there as he brought her there, we will confess like her, "I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel for ever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. You see, the Queen of Sheba's encounter with Solomon transformed her. She came full of her own wisdom, her own might, her own works, her own righteousness, and all the spirit within her was brought down to nothing. And all her unbelief was brushed aside. And she confesses, the half was not told. Oh, how unbelieving I was. In this, she is seen not just as mankind approaching unto God in his own self-righteousness, his own wisdom, with hard questions and doubts and mockery and scoffing, but she is seen as one who is transformed, changed by her encounter with the King, as one who is saved. She's a picture in this sense of Christ's bride. The Queen comes to the King and is left full of wonder at his glory. When she first approaches, she comes in her own glory, her own splendor, with her own wisdom and her own questions. She comes, as it were, to put the King on trial. She's heard of him. She's heard of Christ. And she has some hard questions for him. She puts him on trial. Does he meet her approval? Can he answer her hard questions? She's a woman approaching unto the King full of her own wisdom, having her own riches, coming from a far country, who on hearing of this King comes with many hard questions. And we see how her wisdom is pitted against the King's wisdom. She comes unto him full of her wisdom, full of herself, full of questions. Isn't this like you and I? And doesn't this remind us of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. She comes as you and I do, with the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world. And the foolishness of the cross, the preaching of Christ in his gospel, of which Solomon and his wisdom and his answers to her hard questions are a picture, breaks her and brings her to nothing. The foolishness of the preaching of the gospel changed her to the point that she says she did not believe, but now she sees. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you come unto Christ, as it were, with hard questions? Does your heart say, well, if there's a God, wouldn't he do this? And shouldn't he be like that? If Christ is real, why is this like this? And why is that like that? Why is the world the way it is? If he rules over all things, why doesn't he prevent this from happening? And why does that occur? Oh, how many hard questions we throw at him in our wisdom. And oh, how we ridicule the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ. Oh, how dull it seems to us. Oh, how apathetic we are to it. Oh, how irrelevant Christ seems to the modern man in his modern world. We've moved beyond such things. We've moved beyond these old myths and tales. We don't need religion anymore. We have science for our God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. She came pitching her wisdom against Solomon's. Is that how you approach Christ and his gospel? Pitching your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding against his. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. She had heard of Solomon's wisdom. Wisdom and power, unlike any that had been seen in the world before. But she approached unto him with her own wisdom and her own questions, seeking to bring him down to her own level. She'd heard many great things, but she didn't believe. She'd heard of his kingdom. She'd heard of Jerusalem. She'd heard of the house he built. She'd heard of the temple. She'd heard of his navy, that he brought gold from a far country, Ophir, unto his kingdom with. She'd heard of the wisdom of Solomon. Have you heard of Christ? Have you heard, as it were, of his navy? Of how he brings his gold, his people, from a far country, across the waters of death, the waters of judgment, the waters of sin, how he brings them from a far country across the waters into his kingdom. What a navy Christ has built. How many he brings from the four corners of the earth. How he saves them by the preaching of his gospel. How he brings in his gold into his kingdom and builds his church. You may have heard of him. You may have heard of his gospel. You may have heard of his mighty works. But do you come like the Queen of Sheba? Is the approach of your heart one that is full of your own glory, your own wisdom, your own righteousness, your own riches, your own works, You come and visit him, as it were, full of riches. Look at me. He should receive me because of how great I am. Look at my glory. And you come and you sit him down, as it were, with your hard questions. How he can't answer. These people that believe Christ and preach him, they don't have answers for this and answers for that. We come with our doubts and our suspicions and our ridicule and our scorn. But how everything that she asked was answered. How Solomon in his wisdom had an answer for every riddle, every hard question she placed before him. She was overwhelmed with his wisdom, overwhelmed with the glory of Solomon when she came face to face with him. It transformed her. See, as we read in 1 Corinthians, God has chosen the base things of the world, the things which are not, in order to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We can come before Christ full of ourselves, full of our own self-importance, full of what we've done and what we are and the decisions we've made and what we think about the scriptures and what we think things should be and how we think God should be. Full of our own ideas of the world around us, full of our own self-importance, our own glory, the riches and the works of our own hands. But God won't share his glory with a sinner like you and I. No matter what kind of a name we have made for ourselves in this world, she was the Queen of Sheba. She came with mighty trained, with camels, with an entourage. Oh, how important she was. And he brought her down to nothing. There was no more spirit left in her. And we may come unto Christ in the same spirit, but he won't share his glory with a feeble man or woman like you or I. He won't share his glory with wretched sinners, full of self-righteousness, which stinks in his presence. He'll bring his people to naught and give them faith to see Christ in all his majesty. Of him, he says unto his people, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's where we need to be brought. But just like the scribes and just like the Pharisees, when Christ comes unto us, we meet him with our questions. She brought hard questions. They came unto him and questioned him and sought to trap him in his words. Because what a fool he is. Look at us. We know the scriptures. We have wisdom in these things. So they tried to trap him. When David's son should come, whose Lord is he? They try to trap him. They've got the answers to every puzzle. And yet when he spake, it was said of him that no man spake like unto this man. He spake with a wisdom. Christ spake with a wisdom and an authority that no one had ever heard. He had an answer to every question put to him. He could brush aside the unbelief of sinners, the unbelief of religious, hardened sinners that know it all and yet are blind to the very God that stood before them? Are you like them? When Christ is preached and stands before you as the majesty of God, the Son of God, the King in all his glory, when he's made known unto you, are you like a Pharisee, full of unbelief, full of hard-heartedness, seeking to stone him because he brings you in your spirit to nothing? We don't want to be brought down. And when the Queen of Sheba came unto Solomon and questioned him and questioned him and questioned him, he answered every question until there was no more spirit in her. Yes, she'd heard of all Solomon's wisdom. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was brought to nothing. Nothing. Before a mighty King. We come before God in all our spirit, all the wisdom of man, all our self-confidence, with our hard questions, with our unbelief, with our doubts, with our suspicions, full of ourselves. And then when the King in his wisdom by his gospel makes known unto us just what we are as wretched, vile, unbelieving sinners before a holy God, when he brings us down by his gospel until there is no more spirit in us, we are emptied. We are brought to nothing. When that word breaks us, we have nothing to confess, except that we are wretched sinners before a holy God in need of mercy. She'd heard and seen all Solomon's wisdom, and she confessed that it was a true report that had been given unto her. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." When God sends his gospel our way, when he preaches of Christ, his Son, and his sovereign grace in saving sinners, his free grace, when God preaches his electing grace, that he has a people chosen from the foundation of the earth, that God, before this world was created, chose a people who were given to his Son and laid upon his heart, that Christ in the fullness of time came into this world, made a man, made a little lower than the angels, even for the suffering of death, when he came and lived as a man amongst men, when he was rejected by all, you and I included, when all mankind sought to kill him and slay him, when we said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And when God had his own Son nailed to a cross and laid upon him the sins of all his chosen people. And when God poured out the wrath of his fury against sin upon his own Son to take that sin away. And when Christ suffered in the darkness, rejected by man, forsaken by the Father, because of the vileness that he was made to be, because of the iniquity he bore, because of the horror of death that he endured, because of the sins of his people. When he cried out in victory, "It is finished." when he rose again the third day, when he ascended unto glory and power and sat down and preaches the gospel from on high that declares that he came for that people, that he saved that people, that his name is called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. When that message is preached unto fallen sinners like you and I, we have hard questions. We say, how can God be like this? How can he come and save some and not others? How can he be the one that determines who is saved? Why is it not down to me and my choice? Why can't I take him or leave him? Oh, how we hate this message, how we despise it. We don't want a God who rules. We want to be God. We want to decide whether he saves us or not. We want to sit on the throne of glory. So we come, as it were, like the Queen of Sheba, full of our own glory, used to sitting upon a throne, and we put him to trial and we quiz him and question him until his gospel breaks us. And then we have to confess that that gospel which we once despised, which we once rejected, is true. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. This gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach, of his free and sovereign grace, of his electing love, of his abounding grace unto sinners, is a true report. But until we hear the King, until we hear his wisdom, until we hear Christ preach it unto us, we remain in unbelief, and we come in our own glory, with our own riches, our own works to present unto him, and our own wisdom, and our own hard questions. But she wasn't left in that state. There was no more spirit in her. She was humbled and broken. She saw what she was, as it were. She saw that she was nothing compared to Solomon. She saw that she was a sinner in need of salvation. And she recognized that she had heard of him before was but a glimpse, but a drop in the ocean of all that he truly is. The half was not told. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. The half was not told me. We could preach Christ faithfully to sinners. Christ could come and preach his gospel to us. We could hear this gospel preached by faithful preachers that God sends day and night for the entire length of our lives to a very old age, and the half would not be told. We never grasped the height and the depth and the length of his love, of his glory, of his mercy, of his majesty, the riches of God which are found in Jesus Christ. We but see it through a glass darkly. We but see a glimpse of it. And we see nothing of it until we're brought before the King and we hear his voice in the gospel and he gives us faith to believe. Until then, we're just full of unbelief. The half was not told her. As we read at the end of John's Gospel concerning Jesus Christ, John recorded the works of Christ. He recorded those signs that depicted his glory, all the majestic work of Christ, the divine Son of God, coming to the world as a man, all that he did to save sinners. And at the end of his Gospel, he writes, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. The half was not told. We have four Gospels that depict the works of Christ in his time upon the earth. We have the epistles and the Acts of the Apostles, we have the entire Old Testament scriptures, we have the entire Bible, and the half is not told us. The whole of the scriptures make Christ known. Constantly we see in these Old Testament scriptures pictures of Christ and his glory and his gospel. Constantly we see how the writers of the scriptures, a multitude of writers throughout thousands of years, from multitude of countries, all testify to Christ, and we see the harmony and unison of their message. They all preach Christ and him crucified, and yet throughout the entirety of it, the half is not told. Have you but heard but a few words of Christ's gospel? Has a tenth been told you? A hundredth, a thousand, has God spoken unto you? Until Christ himself speaks, it's all words which you doubt and which you respond to with hard questions. But when he speaks, you say, "I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel for ever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." The Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. Oh, what a blessing it is to be brought to hear this King, to hear Christ and his gospel, to truly hear his voice in the gospel, to be brought to the end of ourselves, to have no more spirit left in us, to have ourselves broken. What a blessing it is to be brought there and to be given faith to behold the King in his glory. How happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Has God brought you to stand before Christ, to be in his presence, to hear his wisdom? Has he blessed you as he blessed the Queen of Sheba by bringing her to Solomon? David writes in Psalm 32, of the blessing of the man whose iniquity is taken away. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who knows this Saviour, this King, his gospel and his wisdom. Oh, how happy were those that stood continually before Solomon and that heard his wisdom. But oh, how happy, how blessed are those who by faith stand before Christ and hear his wisdom in his gospel day and night, who have his righteousness, who have had their sins blotted out by his blood, for whom he died and suffered upon the cross, who have been washed in his blood, who have his righteousness, his life, who are one with him, who have his wisdom and the riches of God in Christ, the fullness of God. Oh, how happy, what a blessing to be brought there. When she was brought there, she was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with Solomon's glory, overwhelmed with his majesty, overwhelmed with his mercy, his wisdom, his grace, his glory, overwhelmed with his salvation. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as those which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave him what was nothing really, but she was overwhelmed. She had to give to him. Like the woman we read of in the Gospels, who came unto Christ with precious ointment and poured it over his head and washed his feet and devoted herself to him, because she knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she had nothing, but she knew that Christ was her Saviour. Christ was the King, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ was her all. Matthew, we read, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Oh, she bathed his feet with her hair. She washed him. She adored him. She gave what she could to him, because his wisdom, his gospel, had broken her and had saved her. How here in Solomon broke the Queen of Sheba and saved the Queen of Sheba. How here in Christ in his gospel broke this woman at his feet who washed them and saved that woman. As here in Christ in the gospel broken you and saved you. Have you heard him? Have you heard of his wisdom? Have you heard of his glory? Has Christ caused you to see his wisdom and see his glory by faith? Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba gifts more than she could imagine. King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Her gifts to him were nothing compared to his to her. He gave her all her desire, whatsoever she asked, and he gave her of his royal bounty. Has Christ, by his gospel, given you, a broken, a fallen sinner, emptied of self, emptied of your own righteousness, emptied of your own wisdom, having had all your hard questions answered, melting you, breaking you, has he given to you, when you cried out unto him as a wretched, broken sinner, crying out for mercy, has he given you all your desire? Has he given you mercy? Has he given you grace? Has he given you righteousness? Has he given you salvation? Has he given you in him all the riches of the Godhead? Riches beyond compare, wisdom beyond understanding. Has he given you all your desire? Oh, that God would bring us by his gospel unto the King, unto Christ. And oh, that our spirit would be brought to nothing. Our questions would be brushed aside. And he would bring us, like his servants, to cry out day and night, praises unto his name, because we know his love unto us, a wretched, undeserving sinner. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. God loved his people forever. So he set his King Christ upon a throne forever to do judgment and justice. He came into this world at the cross, where he wrought judgment, where he satisfied justice, where he brought in righteousness and salvation for wretched sinners like you and I. Has he brought you to see him? Has he brought you where he brought the Queen of Sheba to be able to say, it was a true report that I heard. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. The half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Amen.